All right. Well, welcome this afternoon to Milwaukee Mennonite Church. My name is Mark, and I'm going to be leading worship today. Matthew Kaiser is going to be sharing the reflection and doing the children's time. We'll kind of give folks a couple or a little bit to come in and sit down, and then we'll start the prelude. All the music today is going to be recorded, but I strongly encourage you to move your lips and underneath your mask and sing along gently, or at least hum or whatever. The four songs that we have today, three of them are incorporated into Voices Together, but the first one that we're going to be listening to that I've selected as a prelude is one that I've used before in our virtual worship services before. I think the first time was last fall. And this is the only kind of indirect reference to the secular nature of this day today. This is an alternative version of a tune, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, that you will recognize. The music is not original to Audrey Assad, but the lyrics are. And this is Audrey Assad who's going to be singing this. And so sometimes preludes are sort of like elevator music. People kind of come in and it's just sort of in the background, but I'd really like us to think about the words. And so what I did was printed the words on the back. So I'll ask Stevers to start this off, and then we'll listen to Audrey Assad and then follow along with the music.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down our swords, replanting every vineyard till a brand new wine is poured. I've seen you in our home fires, burning with a quiet light. You are mothering and feeding in the wee hours of the night. Your gentle love is patient. You will never fade or time.
those words, dismantling our empires, that feeds right into our land acknowledgement, which is part of our own acknowledging the empire that we are a part of. So if you turn in Voices Together to 878, we can read the land acknowledgement together. There is a section in the middle there where I'm going to provide some more context to what this might mean for us, and then we'll continue with the last part. Let's read together. We acknowledge that we are gathering on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples. We affirm that settlers have specific responsibilities in the journey of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. Peoples such as the Potawatomi, Menominee, Ojibwe, and Ho-Chunk nations. What are these specific responsibilities? I will name two just for starters. First, as settlers, we acknowledge that our government made promises to these nations, and we lament that we have broken these promises. For example, the Treaty of Chicago, made in 1833 between the United States and the United Nations of Chippewa, Ottawa, and Potawatomi Indians. Because of this treaty, women, men, and children left homes on these shores and in these woodlands and traveled 500 miles to the prairies of what is now southwest Iowa, where they were promised land equivalent in size to all of southeastern Wisconsin. A second responsibility is to see the Indigenous people in Milwaukee who remained and returned and who live, work, and worship here now at places like the Indian Community School, the Congregation of the Great Spirit, and the Ogema campus on State Street, which leases space to the Woodlands School where Izzy and Emma attend. Let's continue. We give thanks to Creator and to those peoples who have stewarded this land for generations. We are grateful for the opportunity to live, work, and worship here as we witness the reconciling movement of the Spirit and seek to live into right relations with our Indigenous neighbors and all of creation.
So please join me in the call to worship just a few pages before, or page before, number 869. And this calls for two groups of people, and I was envisioning a somewhat a more equitable distribution on either side. So I think what we're going to do is have these first two rows, so basically Ray to Rachel, and then Levi to Connie, okay, as group one, and then basically Stolpe's plus one Gooding be group two. Looks like we've got, okay, that'll be good. So group one will be the first two folk rows here, and then that farther back row, and then Stevers, you can join the second group there too, okay? So group one. We are... We are a covenant people called to church by the church, weaving together the strong and the weak, the stranger and the friend, renamed, renewed. We gather ourselves in the community of believers. We gather ourselves unto you. And for our second song today, please turn to the gathering song and just number two, Uyai Mose, come all you people. And as I say, feel free to under your mask, sing along, or hum, or just follow along with the words.
Mare.
We now move into a time of confession and reconciliation, so I'd invite you to turn to number 893 in Voices Together. In selecting from the worship resources for today, I was wanting to take advantage of things that are maybe new to us, things that haven't been carried over from the blue hymnal before, and just kind of in expanding our repertoire a little bit of things and taking advantage of this wonderful new resource, worship resource that we have in Voices Together. I believe this is new. You read the bold part. For failing to love others as you have loved us, God of grace, for wasting your gifts and hoarding our goods, God of grace, for plundering the earth and abusing the planet, God of grace, for fearing those who are strange to us and ignoring those in need, God of grace, for losing heart and abandoning hope, God of grace, for all the ways we turn from you, God of grace. We offer our prayers in the name of the one who saves us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'd invite you to stand if you're able and turn to 850. And normally what we would do for those of us who are, one of you who's not been here before, what we normally do is after this time of reconciliation is to share the peace of Jesus with one another and go around and say, peace of Christ, peace of Christ. But in this time of kind of, you know, pre-post-pandemic caution, we're going to be standing in place with this. But I want to pick up on something that Lori did a few weeks ago. I think it was in our first worship service that we had, which is, I think, a wonderful way of expanding our horizons in terms of worship resources and specifically linguistic resources. We're going to be wishing each other individually the peace of Christ with in a different modality, namely in American Sign Language. And so on 850 here, you'll notice that there are 19 or 20 different languages that are represented. And so number 20, not surprisingly, is ASL. And so before, yep, I see David's already practicing. I needed to do it too, because it's a little bit, it's like patting my head and rubbing my belly at this. So we're going to expand just a little bit on what Lori had done. We're going to make this a little bit more of a sentence. And we're going to have four signs that are put together. The first two signs, I looked this up, that collectively mean peace, are actually two separate ASL words. So if you take your hands like this, and then like this, right? So just simply like this, and like this, that's the verb to become in ASL, to become, okay? So let's just try this together. So together, there, and that's become. And this sign means quiet, right? So become quiet is the noun peace. So let's try that together, okay? So become quiet is peace, okay? So that's peace. This is what we had done a few weeks ago. Now we're going to make it embedded in a sentence here. Our two fists together faced in this way, okay, means it's the preposition with, right? So it's with, okay? So let's build the sentence. We've got with, perfect, okay? And in manual languages generally, ASL is one of many manual languages that are used quite naturally around the world. It's not just simply like gestures or body language or something. Manual languages are fully fledged languages, like oral languages are. And those of us who use oral languages feel a little bit uncomfortable with taking our fingers and pointing them directly at somebody else. But these kind of pointing elements are absolutely essential to communicating effectively in manual languages. And so this means to you, okay? Or you, right? So we have with and you like that. So let's try this all together. And then I'll ask you to turn around and then identify somebody or a couple of people that you can pass the peace to. So it's like, okay. And again, we have to get over our sort of, you know, concern about like not pointing at somebody, but this is how we do it in ASL. So, okay, I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with multiple neighbors. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm really tempted to suggest, this will be a kind of a worship team thing, to suggest folks that are leading worship to think about every now and then incorporating some of the ASL resources. This is completely new, and there's something beautiful about being able to communicate in a language where we don't need to move our lips. We can just enjoy the silence and go with the visual element. One thing, I took ASL many, many years ago, and one of the things that I'm just sort of reminded of now is that if you want to get somebody's attention, you just simply go like this, right? You can't just sort of say, hey, Steve, let's do it or something, or, you know, tap somebody on the shoulders. It's okay to wave and get somebody's attention. So, right. So we'll invite Lori up for today's scripture.
Mark 6:1-13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them.
I don't think we have any kids here, at least chronologically. I won't necessarily do my children's time like I was going to do, but it was going to be, or is, rooted in the land acknowledgement statement. Steve, thank you so much for what you did for us today in expanding that. And the question is, you know, what kind of stories are we a part of? And that could take us in a lot of different places, maybe stories that we heard growing up about our family or ourself. We hear stories all the time about our extended family, our town, our high school, various exploits. And then we hear the stories of this country that we live in. And in particular, on today, there's a particular story that's told, a story that's celebrated. And to think about that story juxtaposed with the story that we acknowledge in our land acknowledgement statement, I think is powerful for today. So that's the children's time. And maybe that's the sermon, I don't know. Could sit down with that. Well, hello, Milwaukee Mennonite Church. I'm Matthew. And it is good to be gathered with you this Sunday. I want to begin with a question. What does it mean to call a place home? Is it the place of your birth? Is it the place you live now? Is it about particular persons and your connections to them? Is it about the experience of certain emotions? For me, the answer to these questions is yes, 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 and yes. Yes, my home is Cedar Falls, Iowa, and in particular, the house in which my parents have lived for almost 50 years. Yes, my home is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and in particular, the house on 58th Street in the Washington Heights neighborhood. Yes, my home is with people who are family, whether that is the family I had no say in joining, or the family I had some say in creating, or the people like you, Milwaukee Mennonite, with whom I gather around a shared vision and purpose. And yes, my home is about the experience of certain emotions, namely belonging, refuge, and encouragement. Your answers will no doubt have some similarities and also differences to my answers. These questions speak to these different levels on which we live and understand ourselves: chronological time, place, relationships, commitments, emotions. Home can be described in a lot of different ways. And though my experience of home is positive, it is not perfect. Perhaps for some of you, the pain of home makes your understanding of it more aspirational than reality at this point. You might be thinking, I wish for home to be. In short, home can be complicated. The celebration of a birthday is often a marker of a home to which we belong. And today, the country in which we live turns 245. Is the United States of America home? On this date in 1776, the Second Continental Congress, meeting in Philadelphia, agreed that its 13 colonies should be independent from Britain with the ratifying of the Declaration of Independence. Perhaps you've heard of this event. Perhaps you can even recite some lines from it. Then, beginning on August 2nd, 1776, this document was signed by 56 delegates, men between the ages of 26 and 70, most born in the colonies, most wealthy, and over two-thirds owners of enslaved people. For whom was this Independence Day? It clearly wasn't for the indigenous people of this land. In fact, one of the 27 grievances against King George III listed in the Declaration reads this way: he has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. The signers of the Declaration of Independence lifted up their own humanity by denying the humanity of those who lived here first. And for those enslaved people of these 13 colonies, primarily of African descent, this also was not Independence Day. Frederick Douglass, in a speech entitled "What to the Slave is the 4th of July," given on July 5th, 1852, for an event in Rochester, New York, to commemorate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, said this: "Fellow citizens, pardon me, allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I therefore called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits of express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? Would to God, both for your sakes and ours, that an affirmative answer could be truthfully returned to these questions. Then would my task be light and my burden easy and delightful. For who is there so cold that a nation's sympathy could not warm him? Who so obdurate and dead to the claims of gratitude that would not thankfully acknowledge such priceless benefits? Who so stolid and selfish that would not give his voice to swell the alleluias of a nation's jubilee when the chains of servitude had been torn from his limbs? I am not that man. In a case like that, the dumb might eloquently speak and the lame man leap as an hart. But such is not the state of the case. I say it with a sad sense of the disparity between us. I am not included within the pale of glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoined in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought light and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice. I must mourn. Independence Day for many within the Black community is not July 4th, 1776, but June 19th, 1865, Juneteenth Day. This was the day Union soldiers entered Galveston, Texas, and announced that the Civil War was over and all enslaved people were free, a full 18 months after the Emancipation Proclamation. For over 150 years, this independence has been celebrated, and just this past month became a federal holiday. And how about for the Christian? How about for the church? Is this Independence Day? No doubt for some churches today has been a day of shrouding the cross with the flag, baptizing the greatness of America with the waters of divine blessing. But how can this be with the history I've just shared? For our Mennonite ancestors, this relationship with America has been tenuous from the beginning. Many came to America because of a combination of escaping the rising militarism in Europe, along with the promise of economic opportunities. Mennonites were not pure in making a life here in America. They were complicit in the atrocities done to indigenous people and African Americans. And there was a strong sense that loyalty to America attempted to usurp loyalty to God. And in particular, the founders' belief that war was necessary to bring about freedom directly conflicted with what it meant for our ancestors in the faith to faithfully follow Jesus. As Anabaptist theologian Greg Boyd has asked about July 4th, how can a holiday that celebrates one group of mostly professing Christians violently overthrowing another group of mostly professing Christians be venerated by a people who are called to love their enemies and to be peacemakers, even if they happen to find themselves on the side that won? To all that historical context of our present home and the national celebration that surrounds us today, let us turn to our gospel reading, which speaks of being home. Jesus has come to Nazareth with his disciples, and his hometown does not embrace him. Oh, they come to hear him teach in the synagogue, and they are astounded. Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? They are astounded because they think they know him. They think they have him figured out. Wasn't he a carpenter? Wasn't he the son of Mary? Note, there's no note of a father. Is Joseph really his father? Maybe Joseph had died. And doesn't he have all these siblings? And he's teaching and doing these amazing things? It didn't compute. Jesus didn't fit with what they thought possible. And so, quite in contrast to the disciples' reaction when he calmed the storm that we looked at a couple weeks ago, a sort of dreadful curiosity of like, who is this who calms the raging sea? In contrast to that, his hometown takes offense. Who is this guy? They stumble over their previous knowledge of him. Rejection. But that doesn't stop Jesus. The second half of our gospel reading speaks of Jesus' response to that rejection. He continues to teach. And moreover, he sends out his disciples two by two. In sending them out, he gives them power, authority over the unclean spirits. The disciples go out, not in their own power, but with the authority given by Jesus to do the very ministry that Jesus has already started. And they go out with little. The passage reads, he ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. The disciples are dependent upon the provisions of others to make it. They are being sent with a message, and they need to rely upon and receive from others. The message ends with a statement of success. The disciples did preach a message of turning from the status quo and a healing for those oppressed. I want to close here now with a return to my original questions. What does it mean to call a place home? And on the birthday of the United States, do we celebrate this as home? On one level, yes, this country, the USA, is home. And yet, our identity with and in Jesus relativizes our understanding of this homeland. It is not ultimate. In fact, may it be that we have more in common with followers of Jesus who do not share our native tongue or particular national customs than with those fellow Americans who do not follow Jesus. And yet, we are in this place, and we are called to love those in this place. The call of discipleship, as expressed in today's passage, involves being dependent on others. Our being in the world is not one of strength in the sense of lording it over, but instead of reliance and acceptance of the hospitality of others. What would it look like to engage the world with the power and story of Jesus from a place of humility, receiving the hospitality from others? Milwaukee Mennonite, we have a message to share about the love and truth of Jesus. We have an earthly citizenship, yes, but it is not ultimate. Our identity in Jesus individually and corporately as the body of Christ, the church, is beyond this world, and yet it also roots us here in this place. So let us find ways to share the good news of Jesus that connects us and makes us reliant upon the hospitality of others. We are home here because we are home in Christ. Amen.
Some land and
To a time of joys and concerns, and we're going to be doing something just, I won't say different, just a little bit slightly different. Already kind of look ahead to 997, and this is a new resource for us, and there are not many prayers in the worship section that sort of have space for both joys and what we call joys and concerns, right? And I want to make sure that I'm going to start off by asking you to share any joys that you might have, but also all these categories here for things that we can offer areas of concern. So I'm just going to sort of guide your eye to that, these different sections here. And then in a moment when I ask, so normally we kind of just sort of intersperse joys and concerns with one another. I'm going to solicit joys first. We have a couple of things I've already noted, and then we'll kind of move into concerns. But the category, I'd like you to sort of maybe think about this, about things that we can incorporate into our prayer that is concern-based. So in the first section, it's going to be for praying for the church, and church could be an individual congregation. It could be a congregation that we have close family members or friends are associated with. It could be a faith community that we're not connected with, right, but that we want to offer prayers for, right? So that's that first section there. And then the next section deals with the natural world. So like environment and thinking about areas that are particularly hit hard by climate change or natural disasters or natural spaces that we would like to offer up for prayer. And then the next section deals with sort of worldly authority. So politics, politicians, people in some sort of positions of power. That could also include countries or regions that are affected by or afflicted by conflicts. So places like experiencing civil wars. And then for those who are, in a sort of more local sense, people who are, say, distressed, right? So people like groups of people or maybe individuals who are suffering particularly at this time, or those who are, so quote unquote, afflicted with a specific disease or debility, right? And then specifically, kind of the circle gets a little bit more specific for those of us or in our circle of connections who are ill, right, that we'd like to offer prayers for or struggling. And then also thinking about in this almost nearly last section here, thinking about so-called homebound members of our church or for people that we would like to reach out to with, in say, like mission and service contexts. And then the last sections are going to be, I'll read them out loud, and then you'll say, hear our prayer, and then we'll have an opportunity to share concerns privately. So we'll just have a moment of 5 seconds of silence there. So it's kind of a lot of rubrics here, but I'll just give it a try because I think this is a really, really beautiful prayer. Are there any, we have a few joys that we've already noted. Are there any joys that people would like to express today? Chris? Okay. We'll make that a concern, incorporate it into the concern section. Okay, because this is sort of a prayer of concerns, but I'll welcome anything that you'd like to add, either in one of these categories or something that would be sort of an expression of thanksgiving that would not necessarily fit into this, because I'll start off with those first. All right, well, please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the many, many blessings that you bestow on us. We are so incredibly blessed, and sometimes we lose sight of that. We take so much for granted for health and well-being and become almost a little bit self-centered when we think about sort of our own particular circumstances and lose sight of the fact that we, relative to so many people in our own communities, in our nation, and across the world, that we're so incredibly blessed. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all God's creation. We pray, Holy God, for the church universal, for the unity of the church, for the churches who are part of Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite Church Canada, including the Central District Conference, our home conference, and for all the folks who are involved with making Camp Friedenswald go and be successful and a support spiritually to young folks. We also think about our distant brothers and sisters in places like the Tigray region and Ethiopia more generally, who are experiencing conflict, the Meserete Christos congregation there. We pray that your guiding hand will be with them to remind them that you're with them, especially in times of need, and that those in power would feel your loving hand and the spirit of reconciliation in that. O God, our sanctuary, empower the church, and in your mercy, we pray, omnipotent God, for the well-being of creation, for the will and wisdom to care for the earth. Every day, God, we read in the newspaper and hear on the news yet another consequence of climate change and human-created dilemmas and challenges and horrors. We remember today our sisters and brothers in Canada and the Northwestern United States, Hundreds of people have lost their lives in this heat wave that is connected to global warming and climate change. So we pray that you would, God, you would, through your Holy Spirit, share wisdom to those in power to approach the, recognize the problem and approach the problem with creative solutions and solutions now, to relieve the planet from the evils that we have brought upon it for our own actions. O God, rainbow of promise, preserve the earth, and in your mercy. We pray, righteous God, for peace and justice in the world, for efforts toward international cooperation, for peace everywhere, especially in places that are afflicted by wars. We pray for the people of Afghanistan as they move into a new era, an era that's got a lot of question marks ahead for them. We pray for the people of Ethiopia, and particularly the Tigray region of northern Ethiopia, and the countries of Sudan and Eritrea that border on them. O God, sovereign and judge, guide the nations, and in your mercy. We pray, benevolent God, for the poor, the oppressed, the sick, the bereaved, the lonely, for the hungry and the homeless, for persons without family or friends, for those who feel abandoned, for those who are on our southern border, children especially who are without their parents. We pray that you would offer comfort to those who are isolated and lonely and scared and suffering, and for those whom they've left behind and for those into whose arms they would be welcomed in this country. O God, shepherd and mother, protect the needy, and in your mercy. We pray, compassionate God, for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, for those in hospitals and other institutions of care, for those who have no medical care, for those who are incarcerated, and for those especially who continue to be affected by COVID. We also pray for the spirits of all today who will die. O God, healer and nurse, heal the sick, and in your mercy. We pray, faithful God, for our congregation, for deeper faith and stronger commitment for us all, for our homebound members, for those of us who are traveling this weekend, coming back from being away. We pray that the little light that we get lit in this, in these worship services will burn bright throughout our week. And we take what the nourishment that we receive here and share it with others. O God, everlasting arms embrace this assembly, and in your mercy. We pray, loving God, for the desires that we keep in our hearts silently. O God, our heart's desire, grant us peace, and in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, please turn with me to 1052 in Voices Together for our benediction, and then we'll close with our last song. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Go be peace.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Prepare the way.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Rejoice in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Our last song is number 804, There Is More Love Somewhere. And again, feel free under your mask to sing or hum along.
Love somewhere, there is more.
Keep.